Hotshot Johnny Devine, and you're listening to Wrestle Talk Radio. And all you slack-jawed troglodytes out there, remember something. Wrestling is all about talent. Wrestle Talk Radio has talent, and it's the only station that's divine. And this is Hotshot Johnny Devine.
This is third-generation female superstar Natty Neidhart.
I'm Al Schultz. This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam.
The evolution of online sports entertainment steps back into the squared circle to present to you Wrestle Talk Radio.
Let the main event begin!
Join us as we cover everything from old school to new school in the WWE, TNA, and indie scene.
It's still real to me, damn it!
With your host, Tim Stein.
What you need to learn is that this is my house.
Spud.
Look into my eyes when I tell you that, thank God, I'm an ass!
Will.
Hey, yo.
Mace.
As everyone knows, that I am the most powerful force, both the ring, nevermore.
And the Omega.
I'm the whole fucking show.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Join the club, we've got jackets.
Yeah, baby.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We just got done watching Slammiversary, or more or less, we just got done mildly paying attention to Slammiversary. But nevertheless, we are covering the pay-per-view tonight. As always, it is me, the be-all and all of the WTR Network, the Omega, leading the way as I introduce my cohorts. Will? Yep. Mace?
Yay! I had a great nap for 3 hours.
Standing in for Spug, the one and only Alan Wikipedia.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. And yeah, wow. What a horrible way to end a pay-per-view, but what do you want, man? It's TNA.
And of course, back in the saddle again, all the way from Canada, the one and only Tim Stein.
Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And it's nice to be back on the saddle. Stop. Fuck was that? By the way, Omega, I gotta correct you on one thing. It's not Alan Wikipedia. Come on, we gotta get his last name right. You know his name. It's Alan Would You Pay for Sex.
Oh my god, that was fun. Anything goes the other night. Cindy Sin was trying to do, like, I said, make fun of my name. She's like, I can't. I'm like, why? She's like, because I can actually get it right. I was like, oh, okay.
Well, that's boring. Oh my god, Cindy Sin, one boring bitch. Did I just say that?
Yes.
Okay, call Cindy Sin whatever you want. She ain't boring. 3, 2, 1.
Okay.
There we go. All right. So, hey, yeah, it was a TNA pay-per-view tonight. How many people paid for the pay-per-view?
And according to what we saw on screen before, it was $35. Oh, my God. I remember the $9.95 weeks, and I'm sitting there going, holy crap.
Yeah, the $9.95 Wednesday night, wasn't it? $9.95 every
Wednesday night.
Yeah, I would go to Bottoms Up Sports Pub, sit down with who the fuck is Internet Dave and Mark the Shark DiCarlo, and catch it there. And it cost me whatever a beer cost me. You know what I'm saying?
If only it was that cheap in this day and age.
Yeah, the beer was.
We should clarify that the $35 asking price was more of an Australian thing than anything else, where the guys do pay $25 to $35 for TNA pay-per-views, where I believe you Americans pay about $15.
How much is a TNA pay-per-view nowadays in the greater North American area?
I thought it was like $24 to $29.
Too much.
I remember when they, in 2004, when Victory Road first happened, they were charging $19 for it, so who knows?
I thought it was $44.95, but then again, that tells you how often I buy a TNA pay-per-view. Hey, look, man, I'm so cheap, and you guys know this. I am so cheap, I refuse to pay attention half the time.
Well, you certainly know of that feeling tonight.
I'm just saying, yeah. I didn't really get a chance to pay too much attention to the majority of the pay-per-view tonight. We will take a quick look at the results and shit like that, talk about what went down, and then move on, because let's face it, kids, it was TNA, and they still have a ways to go before they get back into everybody's good books after the debacle from, what, the middle of January until just a couple of weeks ago? Or something like that?
I don't know.
I've lost track at this point.
Like I said, you know, I'm too cheap to pay attention. I just want to take a couple of seconds out and say hello to a guy calling himself Script King in the chat room. Very, very, very important individual here, guys and gals. This guy, he's from Australia, Mace.
Oh, God, not another one.
Yeah, we tracked down another Aussie, so there are at least three people in that country, legitimately, as opposed to everybody who says, oh, yeah, I'm from Australia. No, you're not. Shut up. You know, it's confirmed there are at least three people who live in Australia. Nick in the chat room, Mace on the mic, and, of course, Script King. And I just want to say howdy. Welcome. Welcome to the site, welcome to the show. And by the way, thank you for becoming a sponsor of the Wild Talk Radio Network. That's right. Hey, everybody, I am going to announce a new affiliate. It's called Underground Radio, UNDA Ground Radio, www.undergroundradio.com. Check it out tonight after the show's off the air. He's just building the site, brand spanking new. He's going to be doing some audio stuff, and, well, it's an affiliation that we're doing. Did a little bit of work with and for this guy here, and as a result, he has become our new sponsor. So the toll-free line, 888-357-9876, sponsored by undergroundradio.com. End of plug.
Nothing wrong with that.
There you go. Yeah, so not everybody who tunes in and listens is too much of a cheap cunt to help us out one way or the other. I'm not singling anybody out or specifically calling guys like Tony a cheap cunt, but you know. Oh, was that a shot? It wasn't meant to be a shot. Did that come across as a shot?
Why do you have a smoking rifle in your hand there, Tim?
Yeah, if that had been any more of a shot, you would have been behind a grassy knoll.
Seriously, no, that's not a smoking rifle. That's a cigarette lighter, dude. I swear. No, really, it is.
Sure it is.
So, you guys up for playing another goofy game show night tonight?
Oh, no.
Do we have to? 2 weeks in a row.
Goofy game show?
What, did you miss WTR Jeopardy, Alan?
Yes, unfortunately I did.
Well, according to a lot of people and according to the gang on the mics here, I wouldn't say unfortunately if I were you.
Okay. I do know that it featured the greatest comeback in Jeopardy history.
It did. It was absolutely awesome. Spud, wasn't it, that came from absolutely, what was he, minus 25 million points, and he winds up winning?
Minus 4,000.
Yeah, and that's all because you fucked up, Omega, because you had to leave the show. You answered two questions and then shut the fuck up. That's all you had
to... I know. I was counting on them to self-destruct, and sure enough, they did. But, you know, this is radio, and that was really boring, so...
Well, you know, this shit happens. We're going to actually, I've decided to brainstorm, and this is just coming to me. We're going to come up with a WTR game show, an actual WTR game show. And we're going to figure out what we can do for people to get like actual prizes and stuff like that. And no, I won't be in charge of sending the fucking things out. Shut up, Jersey Girl. Shut up, Tony O. Shut up, Nick. I don't want to hear.
Still waiting on mine.
Shut up, Will. I already gave you a price. Free advice. Yeah, there you go, Omega. Omega, you have to. Yeah, go ahead and say that because that might work.
I am now pitching. Are you smarter than a TNA booker?
Okay, there you go. So, if you guys want to play along in the chat room, see if you can come up with the proposed name for a WTR game show, and just throw it out there through the night, and we'll see what happens. Sound good?
Sounds good. Now let's actually like do something with this show for once.
Right. Well, we'll just stop watching Star Trek on the movie channel and pay attention to the notes that somebody graciously put together. Thanks again.
No. Hey,
I saw someone.
Tim, put that on the stream. I'd rather watch Star Trek than have to cover the pay-per-view.
I saw someone's today. Their vanity plate had the Federation insignia on it.
Oh, okay. Now that's just geeky.
Wrong show.
They must be, yeah, I was about to say they must be Otaku Talk listeners. I'm just saying, hey, Alan, would you do it for free? Are you still here?
I'm sitting here, yeah.
Okay, what's your last name?
Wojcik.
Isn't that what I said?
I hope so.
Alan Woolly Shit. I don't know, just, okay. As we slowly steer it towards a TNA pay-per-view, let's just preview Tuesday.
Very slowly steer it.
I'm just doing my best to avoid it because I don't know about this pay-per-view, guys. Slammiversary, this is their, like, TNA anniversary pay-per-view, and it just did not, from what I caught, feel to me like it was any kind of a big deal, like you would expect it to be.
No, this should be their number two event, but it had a lot of matches on it that more or less could have been done on Impact just as well as they were tonight.
Yeah. Well, I'm getting sick and tired of getting good quality Impact shows for a pay-per-view. What about you guys?
It was a weird show. It was really weird.
Well, let's just take a look at the card really quickly. Starting off, we had Kazarian versus Kurt Angle. Then we had Brian Kendrick versus Doug Williams for TNA X Division Championship. The TNA Knockouts Championship was Madison Rayne versus Roxy. Jesse Neal versus Brother Ray. Matt Morgan versus Hernandez in like a revenge-type match. The Monster Party, Desmond Wolf taking on Abyss. I'm going to guess that Spug on his cell phone.
It is. Is the big surprise going to change his face to TNA forever?
Tommy Dreamer!
Wait, that's the big surprise?
Well, that was one of them. The other one was, and Dixie Carter being really cryptic, said you just have to wait and see. There's a hint. We'll get into that in a second there. AJ Styles taking on Jay Lethal, who does, by the way, a wicked Ric Flair impersonation. Close your eyes, and you'd swear it was Flair and not some black guy trying to talk white Southern.
Wait, Tommy Dreamer?
Yeah, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
I feel like I just got a Happy Meal for McDonald's, and they gave me the girl toy instead of the boy toy. What the fuck?
Okay, you know, getting a boy toy, that's kind of questionable. That's kind of questionable to begin with. You call it a boy toy.
Dude, have you not been to McDonald's in the last 5 years?
Yeah.
If you order a Happy Meal now, is the toy for a boy or for a girl?
Well, they've done that for a long time.
Yeah, no, here's the thing. When I go to McDonald's, I get a Big Mac, a quarter pounder cheese, and large fries. I don't get a Happy Meal.
Well,
you're so grouchy all the time.
What?
Nice one, Omega.
My goodness. Anyway, getting back to the pay-per-view card, AJ Styles takes on Jay Lethal, Beer Money versus Jeff Hardy, and Mr. Asshole. Anderson.
And then you've got to get it right. You've got to get it right, Tim. They are calling themselves the Enigmatic Assholes.
I still prefer Creatures of the Asshole.
Assholes of the Night.
That sounds like such a great horror movie.
Creatures of the Asshole. I don't know. It sounds like a commercial preparation.
Sounds like a problem Cindy has.
Okay, Spud, are you driving in your car with the window rolled down?
The window's cracked, and yes, I'm driving in my car, and I'm so floored because it's Tommy fucking Dripper. What?
Okay, well, you're making a lot of noise with your phone. When the fuck are you getting home?
Probably about an hour.
An hour? Where the hell are you?
Out. Doing stuff.
He's been to the strip joint again to see the midget strippers. We know it.
I was at the titty bar. Yes. I was just at the titty bar. Midget strippers were not there tonight, though. But yes, I was at the titty bar.
For those
okay,
fans,
and the lotto numbers for this week are.
Yeah. For those fans of Married with Children, we'll call it the nudie bar.
No, it was Kitty. Yeah, we're not clearing Al Bundy here. No, it was Kitty. Really nice Kitty. There are a lot of nice Kitty.
Okay.
Not as nice as that.
There we go. Rock, hang up on him. He's making too much noise. Seriously. And where was I? Yeah, Beer Money takes on Jeff Hardy and Mr. Asshole, and then the TNA World Heavyweight Championship sees Rob Van Dam defending against Sting!
Yay.
Still injured Sting.
The still injured Sting. And that was the card, the lineup. The pay-per-view started really hot because they're in an angle. They put on a good match, don't you guys think?
Don't know.
Open up what it was.
What was that?
There, I hung up my window. Are you happy?
Welcome to Clusterfuck Radio yet one more time. What'd you say, Mace?
It was a good opener for what it was.
Okay.
Like this is like Omega said. It was one of those matches that would have been just as well sort of done on Impact then on pay-per-view.
There you go. Up next, so the winner was, of course, Kurt Angle. Up next, TNA X Division Championship, Douglas Williams retains over V. Brian Kendrick. You can't call him V. Brian Kendrick.
Maybe. Does he still look as sloppy and dangerous as he did in the ring on Thursday?
Yes, he looks. He also looks like a mini-me version of Drew McIntyre.
He does. He really does.
Yeah, that's pathetic.
Isn't it just me, or does TNA seem to offer up pay-per-view quality matches on Impact and Impact quality matches on pay-per-view?
What did I say 3 months ago, Spug? Sir, what did I say 3 months ago?
I mean,
he said it 3 minutes ago.
He got it backwards. He's gotten it backwards. Just
chat. Anyway, anybody have any thoughts or anything on the X Division match at all? At all?
Meh. I'm honestly not a fan of this. It's another. Jesus, I hesitate to even put this match on Impact.
Yeah. It was like, whatever. Why do we have to deal with Brian Kendrick in a title shot?
Pretty much.
I can say, as someone who was at TNA's initial show in 2002, the megalong 4-hour taping, to go from a match that debuted the division of Juventud versus Jerry Lynn versus Loki versus AJ to that match, wow, the X Division is just gone. It's a shame.
Yeah, that sucks. I heard rumors that TNA is going to be getting a second separate TV show, possibly to air Tuesday nights. This is the hot rumor. And the X Division title will be the feature title on this second TV show. Now, that doesn't make all... That doesn't sound like a bad idea.
Well, it doesn't sound like much of a bad idea, provided they have it on a champion that you actually want to see. I mean, let's face it. I mean, you don't think of Williams as an X Division wrestler, even though he's got that damn belt still. It might be an interesting, champion since he's so anti X Division. But if you're going to put it, if you're going to push it as a second brand, if you're going to push it as a second show, you need somebody that's going to be worth watching.
Wait, hold on. So, the hot rumor is that TNA might be debuting a second show when they can't even handle one and get that popular. So, we're going to go out and mortgage the farm on a second show, and we're going to feature a title that we've buried for the better part of a year now and put it on someone who really doesn't fucking matter in the grand scheme of things. And we've gotten rid of people who were awesome in that division, like Christopher Daniels, Samoa Joe, Petey Williams. Oh, yeah, our world champion is one of the greatest X Division wrestlers there ever was in AJ Styles. That's going to be real fucking successful.
Well, again, Spud, take it with a grain of salt. It's the hot rumor. It doesn't necessarily mean it's true. And when I say that's the rumor, doesn't necessarily mean it's true. Usually winds up, you know, well, okay, well, it was just a bunch of bullshit to begin with.
Even if it's the hot rumor and it's not, you know, it doesn't happen, the point is that somebody thought of it. There's always some truth in a rumor, and even if this doesn't come to fruition, there was some thought within TNA management of doing this. And to me, that's just absolutely ridiculous. That's asinine, because you can't even get Impact over right now.
Yeah, their highest rating since they went back to Thursdays has been rounded up to what, a one. They haven't cracked one. Yet, have they gone past it?
No, move to Monday. No, that's what happens. I mean, even if it's back to its own time slot, you're still jumping around the time slot. You're still making it inconsistent.
Yeah.
I mean, no matter what show it is, or no matter how popular, it's going to suffer viewership if you can't. Go ahead.
I said it back in January, and I will hold true to it. They should have never, ever, 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 ever thought of trying to go at least partially live against Raw on Monday night. Because that was, I'm going to say it now, that within the next year, TNA will probably cease to be because of that move right there. TNA, if they had stayed on Thursday, stayed in their own little niche that they had carved out, and continued to go on Thursday and gotten rid of the tape shows and told their workers, look, we don't care if you go work independent bookings, but be here on Thursday nights, or try to, you know what I mean? Be here on Thursday nights, because on Thursday nights, we're going to go live, and we're going to be live for 2 hours every Thursday.
Yeah, well, when I first broke the news to you, Spug, and told you that they were going to move to Monday nights and you didn't believe me, what did I say?
I don't know. You're very pro-TNA at that point in time.
I said they should go live, but they shouldn't. Absolutely should not go on Mondays. And if they go on Mondays, then they should start an hour earlier. They finally wound up moving the show up an hour. But they gave it, how many weeks did they give it? Like it wasn't even a full month, was it?
It was like three.
Yeah, it was really fast, and that sucked.
Yeah, I'm sorry. In 3 weeks, you're not gonna build it to where you want it to be. It takes time.
Yeah, but when you're getting ratings that aren't even, I mean, the initial show on January 8th was a what? I think cumulative it was like a 1.8.
It was a 1.5.
Yeah, cumulative. Right? During that 3 to 4 week run before they moved it up an hour early and then eventually kiboshed it, It was doing, I mean, that was in that time period, you had the 0.5 rating. You know, that's on that night. That's not even including the replay. That's just that night at that time slot. You had a 0.5 rating. I'm sorry, but if TNA is going to do anything, then you start small. You start where you've already carved out your mark. And unfortunately, TNA has got everything back afterwards at this point in time. You're giving pay-per-view quality matches away on free television, and you're putting free television quality matches on your pay-per-view. I looked at this card tonight, and that's half the reason I went to the titty bar, is I went, huh, I get off work at 8. I can either run home and watch the pay-per-view, or I can go to the titty bar, get a lap dance, and enjoy myself and chill out with some friends. And that's what I did. Because I knew that the card that was on this pay-per-view tonight really wasn't that great and probably didn't deserve to be on that pay-per-view.
Yeah. Well, you know, we can talk about TNA's move to Mondays at a different time and the logistical nightmare that will wind up being. Once that happens sometime after January 2010, back to the pay-per-view. The Knockouts Championship, Madison Rayne versus Roxy. Roxy puts her career on the line before the match. Guys, this was Roxy's swan song. She's finishing TNA. This was them saying, okay, you're done. This is it. That's all there is to it. Comments?
Oh, apparently.
That was just ridiculous. I mean, we had mentioned it during the pay-per-view. The Meltzer had put something up to the effect that the office, everybody backstage just freaked out that it was basically launched on them. And her crying was, no, that was legit. I think they're trying to turn Madison Rayne into a career killer type character. She'll never be anywhere near a legend killer like Randy Orton. What did some of the other people here think? Omega, what did you think?
God, man. I mean, number one, total jack-off move telling her, okay, hey, you're not working for us anymore as soon as she gets into the building. And, you know, then expect her to go off and put on a pay-per-view match, which, to her credit, she put on a fine match. No, yeah, I have
didn't
nothing
they
against
fire her back?
Yeah.
They fired, I've never had anything against Roxy as a worker. I mean, she does good in the ring. However, TNA is just, God, I mean, it reminded me of what they did with Daniels. I mean, just for no reason, out of nowhere, you know, great ring worker, well-known character in TNA, cut for absolutely no reason whatsoever. Not a word against him, you know, not one bad match under his belt, gone. And it's almost like TNA doesn't know who the hell they want to have on their show from one day to the next. It's just like complete knee-jerk reaction. It's like, oh, we don't need Daniels anymore. But, oh, no, we don't need Roxy anymore. Oh, but, you know, Shark Boy is still on the payroll somewhere and seen
Rhino
him in a few months. You know, Rhino's doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah, good point. Mace.
With this whole thing, you take a look at, you know, they get rid of Terra, they've now got rid of Roxy, yet they've hired on this fucking 45-ton fat bitch that can barely fucking wrestle in what's-her-face dickhead love a lot. It's like they're trying to destroy... Yeah, they're just basically destroying what was one of the pillars of TNA. You know, TNA used to have the best women's division out there besides, like, straight female-only independent companies. But now it looks like they're really starting to destroy everything down to the point where we're going to be stuck with basically Divas Light. You know, it's real disappointing to see a great friggin' division go downhill this much.
Well, it started to decline the moment that Bischoff and Hogan showed up, which is a bunch of bullshit. I mean, did these guys take a look at what was working and what wasn't working, or did they just say, okay, we're going to do things this way and this way will work? Well, guess what? Not exactly.
A lot has declined since Bischoff and Hogan took over. Where we were in December with TNA to where we are now is a lot different.
Yeah. Well, in December, I wasn't watching TNA, and then they made the announcement, okay, Hogan's coming to TNA, and we're going to be doing a special live show on Monday. I started watching it, and the first few shows captured my attention and captivated my interest.
Can I just jump in here for a quick second?
Please.
Tony in the chat just put up that Roxy bladed. Dude, Roxy did not blade. That was a hard juice played up. We definitely sat there and had a good look at that for quite a while. She did not blade. That was a hard juice that just got played on.
You know, I want to comment real quick. Tim was talking about watching TNA, not really watching TNA in December, and then, you know, he saw the announcement and was bought in. You know, Tim, for all your talk of being Canadian and how Canadians are all about the steak, you sure bought the sizzle at that point, didn't you?
Not exactly. You're reading something into it that isn't there, which is, you know, that's understandable. It happens.
No, it absolutely is there. You completely bought into the sizzle.
No.
You were like, oh, look what TNA could be. I'll say, dude, you were very pro-TNA at that point.
Whoa, you're missing it completely. I didn't buy into the sizzle. They captured my curiosity. So I said,
that's
not buying into the sizzle, you moron. That's not buying sizzle.
No, that's just smelling something good in the kitchen.
There's a
three $1 fish finders.
Did you just say something about fish finders?
I think he's ordering food, dude.
No, it's a lottery game.
Oh. Okay.
A lottery
like battleship.
Called fish
like,
finders.
It's like Battleship, but it's with fish.
Interesting. Anyway, getting back.
More interesting than TNA pay-per-view.
Wow. Getting back on the subject. Guys, there's the card. We gave you the winners. We're not going to break down all of the goddamn matches or anything like that.
Oh, come on. You stopped one short of the topic that we could actually talk about.
Well, can I say something real quick regarding Madison Rayne?
Yeah, go ahead.
Am I the only one who can barely buy her as a legitimate wrestler, let alone as someone who's going to be ending careers?
Yeah.
Comments? Anybody?
She's horrible. She's the most horrible champion ever in TNA or WWE's recent memory.
She must be into the double penetration to be carrying the title then. Yeah, I'm just saying.
There's mental images that I didn't need.
Thank you, sir.
Doggy style deluxe. Think about it. Anyway.
No, okay. I'm not thinking about it.
Now well, I got news for you. You're going to have no choice now. All right, Mace, Jesse Neal versus Brother Ray.
Well, absolutely friggin' horrible, horrible match starting out with the blah, blah, blah by Bubba Ray cutting a long-ass promo that the crowd interrupted about 75 times. But what we really need to talk about in this bit is the... Oh my god, awesome debut. He walked out from the crowd to the backstage area. Tommy Dreamer.
Mr. Extreme. Oh yeah, Tommy Dreamer's in TNA. Who's surprised by that?
Nah, not a big surprise. I'm glad to see his no-compete's over at least.
Yeah.
No, it's just going to be nice to see him around for a while until he's eventually squandered and seen every 2 months.
Hooray, it's the return of the TNA Grievous Bodily Harm Division.
You don't think that TNA is going to put together an ECW faction now that they've got a lot of players from the old original ECW?
Absolutely not. You know TNA, they rip off WCW, not ECW.
Well, now is their chance, according to rumor. And no, this is not the hot rumor, Tonio. Paul Heyman joining TNA. Everybody who gets a hard-on for Paul Heyman going to TNA, don't hold your breath anytime soon. Won't happen. This is a wishful thinking thing that was brought up. Oh, Dixie Carter said, oh, yeah, we got a nice surprise coming that's going to change the way you watch TNA forever. Immediately, some WrestleZone flunky decides, oh, maybe they're going to bring in Paul Heyman. God damn it. If I hear one more Paul Heyman, the TNA rumor, I swear to God.
Paul Heyman's going to TNA.
Bullshit! Wise ass Will. No, that's not a hot rumor. That's wishful fucking thinking. However, Dixie Carter has admitted she sat down for lunch with Paul Heyman, and they did talk about the business. And apparently Heyman gave her a whole bunch of ideas and explained a complete overhaul of the company and what would work and what wouldn't work, and whether she listens or not. We'll see in the coming months. But we've heard the talk and the discussion before when all of these former ECW players showed up in TNA, culminating in, you know, Rob Van Dam showing up with Jeff Hardy. Is it really that far-fetched to think?
Does anybody on this show actually want to see a quote-unquote ECW faction? I mean, this just into the news desk, it's dead. It died.
Yeah, I'd rather years ago. I would rather TNA try and take a risk and do something innovative and interesting rather than rehashing something that, oh, by the way, WWE tried a few years ago, and it went over like a fart in a Volkswagen.
There you go.
Well, I figured this was pretty much a waste of a debut, to be honest. You know, as Rox pointed out in our little backstage chat, his debut sort of reads like the back of the Braden Walker DVD.
I know.
You know, he walks through the crowd, spread his arms, and then walks through the crowd again. But I would have been more surprised had it been Dreamer coming out during the main event rather than being wasted on this god-awful Jesse Neal versus Brother Ray bullshit.
I did like the bit where Brother Ray even faked out D-Von. You know, D-Von's just pissed as hell at ringside.
Oh yeah, because that's what we need, is TNA breaking up another tag team. Woohoo.
TNA WWE, yeah, once again.
Well, you know, they could split up and, you know, Brother Ray could be like Father Ray and go religious again.
That was D-Von.
Oh, sorry.
I'm crossing my Dudleys.
I apologize.
What were you saying, Mace?
Well, you could always have him actually become Brother D-Von once again, and then that's a good enough reason to bring in Deacon Batista once more.
Hey, there you go. Something else. Batista's done with wrestling. As soon as he walks away from WWE, he's going to try to break into movies and Hollywood. You will not see him in TNA. That's not even a blip on the radar, so don't hold your breath over that one either, those of you posting in the chat room. Oh, it's a hot rumor that Batista's going to TNA. No, bullshit.
Yeah, I started it because I asked during the show. I said, is Batista's 90 Day up yet? Because that would be the funniest surprise ever. Dave going like, hey, I'm in Orlando. Cool. I live down the road.
Yeah, you see, Alan, you can't do that. You can't be a wise ass in that chat room, because certain individuals who live in, Midwestern United States will take it for gospel and believe it's real.
Nothing we say isn't gospel. Damn, I'm in the wrong show again.
No, how many times do I have to tell you it's gossip, not gospel?
Gotcha.
Okay, as long as we're straight on that one. Why don't we take our first little time out of the night, come back and do some more bullshit, guys? Sound good?
Yes.
Yeah, sure. Alrighty then. Hey, everybody listen to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. The telephone lines are open when we come back. 888-357-9876. And the toll-free line sponsored tonight and every night in the future by undergroundradio.com, www.undergroundradio.com. Check them out. We'll be back on the other side of this quick little timeout. Don't go anywhere.
Omega, did you hear that OWW Radio has a new host?
A new host? Really?
Well, yes and no. He's the old host, but he's now the new host. So, on behalf of the Wild Talk Radio Network, I would like to introduce the new host of OWW Radio, Alan Wojnarowski.
No, Mace, you have it wrong. It's Alan Wojnarowski.
Are you sure? I thought it was Alan Montonsubi.
The name is Alan Wojcik. How many times do I have to spell it out for you people? As these guys are trying to tell you, I'm the host of Online World of Wrestling Radio, which airs on the Wild Talk Radio Network every Tuesday night, around 9-ish, I guess, Eastern Time. Remember, we're on Eastern Time. Till basically, me and whoever's joining me runs out of stuff to say. It's a brand new era in Online World of Wrestling Radio, where your opinion actually matters.
As the owner of Wild Talk Radio, I'd like to welcome Alan Wojcik. Who the fuck is Internet Davis?
The name is Wojcik.
To the Wild Talk Radio Network. You know my name.
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket, the producer of Anything Goes, which you can hear every Thursday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, like most guys, and quite frankly girls out there, probably want to know what's going on through the mind of Sydney Sin. Well, here's a little secret. I have the inside scoop with that connected. And well, I've been secretly taping her dreams for a while now. So, let's hear what goes on.
Sir Rockin' is the greatest rock.
Oh crap, she woke up. Well, if you really want to find out what her dreams, fantasies, and sexual desires may be, then tune into Anything Goes right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network every Thursday night. As for me, I guess I'll be there too once I find my way out of this shed she has now locked me in. Cindy, can you please let me out? I'll be good. I promise.
Damn that rock! He hasn't finished his chores yet. Which means I'm taking control of this network. Which, of course, means more country. Anyway, continue listening to all the great programming right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, the whole fucking show, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio on the Wild Talk Radio Network, boo.
I know I'm supposed to talk here, but I like the song, The Final Countdown. I was just listening to it, getting into it. Who doesn't like that long ass beginning to the song, right, Omega?
Oh, I kind of can't help it.
Spud. That is until you're sitting there waiting for Brian Danielson to get his ass out the curtain.
Yeah, it's an interesting subject we're about to broach, talk about. You know what I'm saying?
Quick, get Danielson to choke somebody with a paw. He'll be out of there in 2 seconds.
Bada bing, bada boom. Yeah, what is going on with WWE? Daniel Bryan released by the company for choking out the ring announcer with his own frickin' tie. Is this real or is this a work? Well, it depends on who you talk to. Seriously. What's his name? Meltzer from the Observer is standing by the conviction that it's a work and they're going to build up his return as Bryan Danielson. And Daniel Bryan is now dead. And they'll change the spelling of his last name so they can trademark the spelling of Bryan Danielson for merchandising purposes, etc., etc. Alan, is he gone legit? Gone or what?
Apparently, or what?
This is a tough one to try to figure out. Rock and I, during the week, I think it was on the OWW Genesis board, or someone sent me a link to this past Wednesday, before all this went down, Wednesday night, FCW here in Florida does house shows, and they did one in Melbourne, Florida, and Christian came out, he cut a blah blah, Heath Slater hit the ring, blah blah blah, Danielson jumped him to set up, of all the weirdest tag matches, Christian and The Miz versus Daniel Bryan and Heath Slater, which ended in the NXT guys coming out and killing him. That was weird to see on that promo. If you go to YouTube, I don't know if they took it down yet or not, but it's available on YouTube, and I think Rock's got it if he wants to put it in the chat room. This caught me totally off guard Friday night. I just, by luck, happened to be on the computer, and it came across Future Endeavor, and I'm going, yeah, right. They're not killing him. I mean, Meltzer's saying one thing. I've heard from people that some Mattel toys executive caught the show and threatened to kill the deal that they just launched with Mattel. So who knows? But isn't this the same promotion that we watched a pay-per-view or so ago? John Cena tried to run Dave Bautista over with a car. I mean, so pay-per-view, yes, regular TV, naughty, naughty. Is that how this is working, guys?
Makes you wonder, that's for damn sure.
I don't know.
I've seen far more violent things done by names in the company than that. I mean, and it's not something his fault. I mean, they obviously went out there and had no instructions whatsoever. Just, you know, okay, everyone at ringside is vulnerable. Destroy the ring. You know, go out there and make yourselves look like heels. You know, because everything they did just seemed very random and violent, which it should come off as. So you really... It's bullshit to fire the guy, a guy that NXT was basically put on TV just to put over because he was sent out there without any instructions.
Yeah.
You know,
so
it's not his fault.
Are you calling shenanigans or what?
If this is a work, WWE's done a fairly damn good job of confusing the hell out of everybody. I'm still not exactly sure what's going on. I mean,
I think that's the idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bullshit reason. They choked. You know, he choked him out with a tie. You know, that makes me think it's a work. You know, the fact that, well, we've seen a lot worse. I mean, that's really nothing compared to a lot of things I've seen on WWE TV, pay per view or not. But you know. Then again, he's back to taking independent bookings, which, you know, they've done with Matt Hardy before when they were trying to put us over.
Yeah.
I don't know. I honestly don't know, and I kind of enjoy that sensation, because it's rare that WWE can get it out of me.
It's been a long time, basically since the explosion of the internet and internet fan sites and the hardcore IWC community, which is what the online wrestling fans are dubbed. It's pretty much been that long since WWE has been able to do something and pretty much captivate the majority of people hook, line, and sinker. They have pulled off works in the past, between the year 2000 and now, even go back to 1998, and now. And they've worked the internet wrestling community as well as, you know, the quote-unquote casual fan, or the non-hardcore fan, if you will, whatever. It's a big rarity now, nowadays. You know, you got guys like Meltzer, who's digging for dirt, and Dave Shearer and those guys at T. Windsor.
Well, here's the thing to keep in mind, too, is that Brian Danielson, he's popular because of the internet. So if they were going to make it work, WWE damn well knows that they have to make it extremely solid, or else everyone's going to be on top of this.
I don't think they would bother going to that much trouble, though, just to work the niche internet fan base. Sorry, but Cena's marketing machine overpowered.
Okay. Here's the problem. Listen to like the NXT episode where he gets eliminated. He drops his name, and the crowd pops to hear Bryan Danielson's name. It honestly makes me think, also the fact that, NXT was basically built to promote Bryan Danielson originally. It kind of makes me think that WWE is starting to get it. The internet fan isn't a niche market anymore. I mean, the internet is pretty widely available to pretty much everybody in that audience now. And anyone who puts in wrestling might get WWE first, but then come all the dirt sheet sites. Then come all the smart marks. It's very hard to be an ignorant fan these days.
Well, here's the thing, okay? It starts with going to WWE.com. And then you do Google searches or ask.com searches about a wrestler. And then you find all of these different sites from there. So all of these people, discovering the internet is a great information source and stuff like that, and they start spending time on it, get reeled in by all of these sites that talk about professional wrestling, and it expands from there and explodes from there. And you're right, Omega. It hasn't been a niche market for several years now, and depending on what your idea of a niche market is. I mean, when you've got all of these websites that have all of these, this one website has a Facebook page and they've got 250,000 fans. This other website has a Facebook page and they got 500,000 followers. And then this other website has a Facebook page and they've got 250,000. It starts adding up. Sure, a lot of these fans are, friends and followers of all of the sites, and you're going to get crossover. But seriously,
just an example real quick here. Yeah. You put in John Cena into Google, the first thing you get is his Wikipedia page, which is loaded with links for other websites besides WWE.com, not the least of which is Online World of Wrestling.
Now, let me ask you something. The average, and anybody who knows the answer, feel free to chime in here, the average viewership for WWE's NXT, what is it?
It's over a couple million. I think they did a 1.0 last for their debut.
Okay, a 1.0. Who understands Nielsen ratings?
I do to a little bit of a degree.
Okay, so we're gonna round it up to
numbers equal good.
Yeah. The higher the number, the better it is. But the thing about the Nielsen ratings, the higher the rating, the higher exponentially. Okay, now, does everybody understand what I'm talking about when I say it's high, exponentially higher? Like, a 1.0 is 1.1 million viewers. A 2.0 is not 2.2 million viewers. It's like 2.5 million. A 3 is like 4 million. A 4 is like 6 million. You understand?
One Nielsen rating does not equal an exact 1 million viewership. There's almost like a decimal that has to be accounted for. It's like 1.2 million for every one.
Yeah, a 1.0 on the Nielsen is like, I think it's 2.2 million viewers, isn't it?
Something close to that, yeah.
No, 1.0 should be about 1.2 million.
Okay, we'll go with that. What the fuck? Okay, 1.0 is 1.2 million. Okay. How many people just in North America hit the internet and go to the wrestling sites and they're hardcore into digging up all of the news and the dirt and the rumors and the columns and the articles that are posted? Are you going to tell me that it's lower than 1.2 million?
I seriously doubt it. Well,
if it was a Nielsen rating, it'd be at least a 20.
Don't exaggerate. It wouldn't be that fucking high.
NXT this past week did a 1.1.
Okay.
If we've established that a 1.0 Nielsen rating is roughly about 1.2 million people, to say that 20 million people in North America go to the internet to look up wrestling stuff, that's not over exaggerating. That's probably pretty dead on.
No, I would say that's exaggeration. My point
let
me finish my point first, Omega, okay? My point happens to be you've got people surfing the internet that could be considered, you know, members of the IWC. Everybody listening right now who listens to us regularly do our stupid little fucking bullshit on Sunday nights, okay? You're members of the IWC. You're considered hardcore because you can't get enough about professional wrestling and people just like you talking about professional wrestling. You're hardcore. You're members of the IWC. The casual fan is a guy that watches the TV show and then goes to the odd event but doesn't go nuts on the internet, and they're not addicted to the internet feeds and all this other bullshit, and they don't look for free streams of the pay-per-views and crap like that. Anyway, it's a simple case in point that this little internet wrestling community that we keep hearing derogatory comments about from wrestlers like Triple H, for example, or The Miz even, happens to outnumber the weekly viewership for TNA's Impact and or even WWE's NXT. You're absolutely right, Omega, to come all the way around. It's not a niche market anymore. It's time to start catering to the internet fan. Now, if this Bryan Danielson firing release, guys, is a work, isn't that catering to us indirectly?
Yes, straight up. Because this type of thing, and as much as they don't like to admit it publicly, for years, the WWE has loved the IWC. They are the hardcore fans that are guaranteed to be sitting in front of the TV contributing to their Nielsen rating, advertising dollar. They love us. So every now and again, to throw us a little bone, then so be it. And it's exactly what this fucking Danielson thing could possibly be. When you have John Cena going on about it, playing it off like it was something to do with the angle, like something with Cena. I can't remember the Twitter post because I don't follow that retard. But it just every time you get to the point where you're like, okay, this can be legit, they turn around and they throw out a little bit of information that makes you turn around and go, well, that's just stinking of being a work.
I have the Twitter post, by the way, in front of me.
The Cena one? Yeah, I got it up too.
Well, go for it, guys.
Okay, here's you want me to do it?
Do it.
Yeah, his exact quote is, "I'm very upset to hear about the release of Bryan Danielson. Social networks are formed so people could have a voice and an opinion. I know you have all known theories and whatnot. I respect that. I have never asked any of you to feel a certain way about me. But Brian left a lasting impression on the WWE universe in a very short time, and although it came at my expense, I agree with the majority of you who are caught off by guard by this choice." This, I don't know how Will and Omega and the rest of you feel, but I'm going to wait 90 days because we all got taken for a ride on this express with Matt Hardy and Edge and Amy Dumas back in the day. So, I don't. I mean, what are you guys thinking? Because I know Will and Omega are kind of sitting there going, let us talk, damn it!
Okay, for starters, I want to have nothing to do with the words writing and Amy Dumas. Thank you.
Sorry.
Secondly, I had a point like 5 minutes ago before we got to Cena's Twitter post. I've been Googling random WWE names here and understand how Google works. The more clicks something gets, the hotter it is and the higher up on the page it is. Every single WWE name that I have put into Google so far has given me their Wikipedia entry first, WWE.com second. So the baseline meaning more people are getting their info from sources that are not WWE. That alone should tell you that the internet market that WWE is reaching, not as big as all the fans that are out there to begin with. So already their little market base on the internet is outnumbered.
Okay, well, I got something to throw at you, Omega. Whenever you do a Google search for something, how often do you always click on the very first one that comes up?
Fairly often, actually. Unless it's like one of those sponsored links that they pay to put at the top, but those are usually separated out.
Yeah, we're ignoring the sponsored links because those are like at the top and there's a little line under and then you have the displayed results. I look at the entire page and then I go to the one that I think might be the most likely to have what I'm looking for. And that's whether or not I'm looking for software or information or news bits or rumors or columns or whatever, right? How many people are going to go on, oh, I know how to work the Google machine. Let's just type that in on the Google machine. Boom. All this stuff comes up, and all of these websites that they see cause them to cross their eyes. But, oh, I recognize WWE. I'll go there. And then how many hits a month does WWE claim to get? 2.2 million?
I don't know. Call Joey Styles. He'll tell us. Is he the guy that runs that joint?
Yeah, Joey Styles. Yeah, he's in charge of the website. But do you understand what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, so the less hardcore fan is going to go to the familiar first before they go to anything else, right?
Omega? Yeah, but you're kind of proving my point here though. The less hardcore fans are going to WWE, but there are other sites that have more views and more hits.
Yeah. Will, you have any thoughts or opinions on this?
Nah.
Okay. Mace?
Nothing really. I'm still waiting to see what's going to happen with this all Bryan Danielson bullshit.
Gotcha.
I still call bullshit.
So you still call bullshit even when you find out that WWE executives went to everybody in WWE corporate, everybody in the office to tell them, we're releasing Bryan Danielson. We're gonna future endeavor him. And
same thing said about Matt Hardy. That's what I mean. It smells like Matt Hardy thing all over again, dude.
Isn't this a really, really huge work? I mean, how many times have we heard let me just ask you this question. Sorry, Omega, to walk over, but let me ask this question to you, okay? How many times have we heard WWE has told everybody in Stamford, Connecticut that they're doing this only to swerve everybody a month down the road?
It's happened. See, most of the time when a firing goes down, all we hear is, well, they've been future endeavored, basically just your generic old firing notice. We don't hear the whole ring around of, they went to tell the writers, they went to tell the executives, they went to tell the workers, It seems excessive compared to what they normally do.
I think...
I'm agreeing with Omega on that one. They're putting out so many ways that they could, quote-unquote, confirm that this has happened, that it is stinking to high heaven of being a work of just about everybody in the company. The best way to hide something is to make it open for the public.
Yeah, the best way to hide something is basically to emulate the ninja. Hide it in plain sight.
Plain sight, yeah. And that sounds exactly what they're doing.
So basically, if this is a work, then they're really going overboard to make it seem like a shoot, as it were.
Yeah, but you take a look at the fact that they've gone out of their way to say, we would love to have you back at another point, like not even 24 hours after he's been released. I'm thinking, and this is only me sitting here, and yes, I have stolen Trey's magic ink pen for the time being, for those of you who know what that is, that they're going to need to find a way to separate Danielson from this whole NXT invasion bit, and this is the way to do it. Make it look like he's been fired, then give it, a few more weeks on television, then have him come back as the guy who's going to start having a go at this NXT group. So, yeah, it just doesn't sit right. There's something really wrong about this.
Something smells a little fishy about it. Let me ask you guys if you remember Matt Hardy's return.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I remember watching it because I remember Steve Kerr nearly get killed at ringside.
Now, you remember that when as soon as we saw it on Raw, we figured, okay, it's a work. But we heard nothing up until he got, about him re-signing before that Monday Night Raw, correct?
Correct, because he was doing a Ring of Honor booking that weekend, and he even made notice to scream out, watch Ring of Honor, watch Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
To try and put it over even more. And then he came back and we all figured, yes, it is 100% a work.
Yeah, but not only that, the night before he went to Raw and jumped out of the audience to beat the fuck out of Edge in the ring and then shout out, watch ROH. The night before, Sunday night, we had him on WrestleTalk Radio and interviewed him.
Let me guess. He swore up and down, no, I would not be going back there. I'd never go back there, not in a million years. No, if they paid me $1 billion. No, if they got Lita steam clean.
Yeah, we talked to him. He was on his cell phone, and he claimed he was out at some cabin out in the woods with his new girlfriend. And wherever this was, it was like right across the country from where Raw was going to be emanating from the next night.
I think it was the Meadowlands in New Jersey.
And from there, it was like, oh, yeah, I'm out in the cabin in the woods with my new girlfriend, and tells us her name, and, yeah, we're getting along and doing some ROH bookings and working for ROH, yeah, 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 yeah. And then the next night, son of a bitch, the fucker swerved us on the show.
Yes, that because as I said, Tim, they love the IWC, man.
Yeah,
and if they can get on a show like this and swerve us even more, then so be it, because it makes their storylines look more legit.
Well, here's the thing. They love the IWC, however, for some reason, it's in their brains that it's not cool to acknowledge the IWC as the force that it apparently is. Omega?
Well, to acknowledge the internet wrestling community is to acknowledge all the websites that are not them, all the ones that do not follow storyline, who Paul Levesque is, not Triple H.
Okay, I'm going to do the same thing to you I did to Spud the last time he butchered the name. It's pronounced Levesque.
Nobody gives a fuck, Tim.
Not Levesque or Levesque.
It's pronounced McMahon. He should just change it to that and get it over with.
Yeah, Mr. Stephanie McMahon.
Exactly. And besides, WWE forgot something, one very important detail in this whole Bryan Danielson firing thing.
What's that?
In the very same shot where he's choking the ring announcer with the tie, you look just a few feet over from him, and Slater has got Cena on the ropes and is choking him with the rope.
Yeah, well, the difference is, okay, you're looking at wrestlers beating each other up and doing stuff with each other. The ring announcer is supposed
to
be...
You're still showing one guy that's being choked with a piece of silk and another guy is being choked with a steel cable.
With a steel cable. That's the point, Tim. They released Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson or however you want to put it. I didn't see the notice on WWE.com. I don't even know if there was one.
Yeah, there was.
And yet you're releasing this person for the reason being that the choking with the tie was way too violent for what we feel is allowed on television at this current moment in time. But in the exact same camera frame.
Yeah.
At the exact same moment in time, you were showing someone else use essentially a steel cable to choke someone else. In the center, you're showing it, and nothing happens to that individual.
Well, I'm presenting to you their argument, okay? Bryan Danielson was assaulting somebody who is not a member of the roster.
He's not a trained bumper.
No. Here's the difference here. When it's in a match, when it's on the roster, when there's a sanctioned match going on, there's a referee who will stop it when it goes over 5 seconds. This was Slater doing it maliciously for no reason with no one to stop it. There is no difference in the scenario between what he was doing and what Danielson was doing.
Roster member or not.
It was still the choking of a human being.
And the reasoning that they gave for firing Bryan Danielson or Daniel Bryan was that it was too violent for what we can show on television or what we feel we can show on television right now.
Well,
that was their reasoning. If you go by that logic alone, why did you not future endeavor Heath Slater at that exact moment too? I don't care that it was on Cena, that he's a trained wrestler. If you want to go by WWE's own logic, they just took one huge detail of this is a work and went, oh, fuck, we fucked that up.
Yeah, but they also made the acknowledgement that Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan is under contract because the way they made it seem to the audience, the NXT rookies were just what they are, rookies. Not the only one that actually got a contract out of it was Wade Barrett, I believe. I mean, I'm trying to remember all the, however long NXT season one was. None of them were ever acknowledged as, oh yeah, they're developmental guys. They all have contracts, not as grandiose as what WWE guys have right now, but they're contracted guys. So for them to even come out and say that Daniel Bryan / Bryan Danielson was released, whatever the extent of it was, just kind of like took that fourth wall and shoved it down.
Well, now here's that,
and there's been no mention of his 90-day.
Here's the main thing. I'm not saying, okay, personally, it's this versus that. All I'm doing is giving you potential interpretation as it would possibly come from WWE. Okay? I'm not going to disagree with any of the statements or the points you guys make. As a matter of fact, you have wound up reinforcing what I was about to, what I was working towards, that WWE is as guilty as the network executives in the suits in thinking that the viewers are a lot stupider and a lot dumber than we really are, collectively speaking. I mean, there are some idiots out there, but, you know, that's just in every walk of life. And I just want to address, I think it was Tony in the chat room, saying that the sleeper hold is a glorified choke. And Mace, Spug, you guys, you've done the sleeper hold, you've had it put on you. Is it a choke hold?
It's a rest hold.
Can you call it a variation of a choke hold? Yes or no?
You can.
Under the technical sense, yes.
Okay. The difference is a choke hold, you're cutting off somebody's ability to breathe. You're crushing, you're literally closing their windpipe with force. A sleeper hold, what are you doing? You are stopping blood flow to the head by cutting off circulation. However, the person is still able to breathe.
My grandfather's World War II vet, and during his combat training before he went overseas, I remember him telling me when we would sit and watch wrestling, goes, you know, that's a legit thing. And I go, what are you talking about? He said, it's called the Weaver Lock, and we were taught it if we ever got in a hand-to-hand combat with Germans or Japanese. So that can take you out.
So when I was DJing downtown Calgary at the time it was the hottest nightclub in the city. I had a doorman there just after I started there who was a no-nonsense, no-bullshit kind of guy. You did not sneeze the wrong way in his direction. He was a master of the sleeper hold, and he would put guys out cold in like 5 seconds by applying this thing, and then he'd leave them sleep for 10 seconds before he'd start slapping their face and waking them up. And it is like nothing like what you see in professional wrestling. An actual sleeper hold applied to somebody is an amazing thing to watch. Have you guys ever seen a legit sleeper hold put on someone?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. So you know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh yeah.
There's a difference between what you see in the ring as part of a match and the real thing. And the real thing is not a chokehold, or by any definition of the term, a variation thereof. But that being said, why don't we take our second break of the night, guys? You ready? You feel like it?
Yeah, why not?
All right. Everybody, you're listening to WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Got a little bit more coming up. Yeah, it seems like we're breezing through the entire show, doesn't it? Wow, this could be the shortest show in the history. We'll find out. Okay, stay.
I fell in love with a southern girl. I gave her wings, but she don't wanna fly no more. Slow it down, slow it down. She wants a ring and she's slamming the door. But babe, I don't cry. What you wanna hurry for?
Hey everyone, this is Sir Rocket, the host of CB Radio, which you can catch every Saturday night.
Whoa, wait, Rock?
Yes, Cindy?
Did you just call yourself the host of CB Radio?
I kinda did just call me the host of CB Radio.
Honey, everyone knows that you are just the producer.
Hey, I'm not just the producer, I am the host of this
show. Oh my god, shut up! Everyone knows that I am the host of CB Radio, which you can check out Saturday nights, midnight-ish, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Now, Rock.
Yes, darling.
This is where you tell everyone, I'll see you Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday.
Good boy.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Eric Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talents today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam,
Mr. Kennedy,
Christian Cage,
Dairy.
Candice McDowell.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
Paul Hogan, the greatest of all time.
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pros use. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Hey guys, Maverick here.
Professional, realist,
genius. You know, I've been hearing what those pricks on WTR have said about me, and you know what? I think it's out of jealousy that I've ran a clean show for as long as I have.
I'm basically giving them free publicity off of the internet, and all I get is...
Fuck math.
Oh well, the hell with it. If you want an opinion that's realistic without so many four-letter words, then tune in to Running the Ropes. Every Friday, right here, exclusively on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
You see that? That's called professionalism, bitches.
I don't care what y'all say.
Oh, it's time to rock and roll. Everyone needs to check out this awesome wrestling show called Running the... Wait, no one listens to that one. Everyone needs to tune in Tuesday night for Online World of Wrestling Radio. This one is Cindy approved.
When you come back, people wonder about you. Hey, everybody, welcome back. Russ Talk Radio, WTR Sunday night. Right before break, we're talking about Bryan Danielson, Daniel Bryan, being released, real or work, fact or fiction. We don't know yet. It's an interesting topic. All I can say is, if it's work, awesome job by the WWE. Guys, comments?
I think I pretty much spoke my piece on it. I mean, it is an incredibly done work, and with Bryan Danielson's following being so internet-based, it would have to be in order to fool anybody.
Yeah, pretty much. My question is, who actually controls the Bryan Danielson thing? Is there a way that you can go on Twitter and figure that out? Because I know a lot of those are just set up by WWE. I mean, Joe Henning had one, and the next thing you know, hey, you're not Joe Henning anymore. You're Michael McGillicuddy.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, in case you haven't caught it, if you don't follow him on Twitter, Danielson's Twitter account actually has a post on it that says, and I quote, "Biding my time, waiting for the right moment to speak." Is that cryptic, or is that just, like, whatever?
Well, Dixie Carter's been cryptic for the last few days, and it turned out to be a pile of crap, so who knows what Danielson's doing.
It turned out to be a pile of crap. So far, we might get more coming up on Thursday. Once again, everybody, phone line's open if you want to call in and chip in your 5 cents. Hey, inflation, it used to be 2 cents. What can I say? Blame the U.S. government and shit like that. But, yeah, 888-357-9876, sponsored by Underground Radio, www.undergroundradio.com, spelled UNDA. Ground. Everybody go check out the site when the show is done. We'll even throw it up in the chat room a little bit later on for you to click on. We want to take your calls. So if you got something to say, call in 888-357-9876, or you got Skype, you don't want to pick up the phone because it's all the way across the room, and you just can't be arsed to get up and get the fucking telephone because you're a lazy prick like some people I know, then just Skype Sir Rockin'. We'd be kind of interested in your thoughts and opinions, if you have any. That's all I'm saying. Other than the fact that there's an actual petition online. You guys seen this thing?
I'm waiting for the thing to load. I think it's hysterical.
We endorse the reinstate Brian Danielson petition to World Wrestling Entertainment. And then you go to petitiononline.com/bdaniel/petition.html. It states to World Wrestling Entertainment on June 11th, 2010, WWE released Brian Danielson from his WWE contract. Reason for his firing was his violent act of choking WWE announcer Justin Roberts with a tie. This was part of a choreographed angle, and Danielson was fulfilling his role on the show. We believe this is the wrongful firing and stand behind Brian Danielson. We insist he be reinstated back into World Wrestling Entertainment immediately. It is ironic he was fired on what was a viewer's choice night on Monday Night Raw. This is ultimately our largest choice of all. Please reinstate Danielson immediately. Sincerely, the undersigned. My question for you guys. Any way to find out who the fuck put this petition online?
To my knowledge, no. However, I will let you know that corporations give less than two fucks about online petitions.
No online petition has ever worked.
Now, the other thing I want to know is your opinion on the possibility this was put out by somebody in WWE.
I'd buy it. Why not? Companies do viral campaigns all the time. Look at the one that Paramount Pictures did for Cloverfield a couple years ago as a movie, or what Warner Brothers Pictures did for The Dark Knight. They take stuff to the internet all the time, and WWE is telling all these guys, we don't want you talking about your personal life anymore on your Twitter account. We want you to pitch your storylines like Matt Hardy, like Cena doing.
So,
meanwhile, Cena bringing up Bryan Danielson.
I was a part of that Dark Knight stuff. That shit was so fun.
Interesting as all hell. So, we got a WWE pay-per-view coming up. It's called Fatal 4-Way. You guys have any interest in this? What was that?
How are you going to do it with only two matches announced, man?
No, the pay-per-view sounds like a lead on a Saturday night.
Fatal 4-Way. Okay. I think we should start an online petition to force Omega to not ever tell any more lady jokes.
Oh, bullshit. That makes this show interesting.
But my gimmick.
I thought Spug made this show interesting.
No, Spug doesn't make shit interesting.
You are a cold old man.
I'm not that old, you fucking prick.
He is cold, though.
Scott Hall of the WTR. Hey, isn't it time you get arrested for drunk and disorderly, Will?
It's been a while. It's about that time.
So, yeah. Why don't we take a really quick look at the Fatalistic 4-Way, shall we? Another WWE concept pay-per-view. That will probably fare just as well as Over the Limit.
That's embarrassing.
Or not very extreme rules.
WWE was so arbitrary with their pay-per-view names to begin with. I really could care less.
Over the Limit as Common God. What was the gimmick for that pay-per-view again?
There was none.
Exactly. So what the fuck was the point?
Good goddamn question. You know, I got myself a nice frosty cold beverage to drink and then had to run back to the computer because we were going back live and I don't know where it is. So you guys just, bullshit. Fill time. I'll be right back.
I know. Over the Limit should have been main evented by, beat the clock matches. That would have made sense.
That also would have been pretty fucking terrible.
So, right in line with the usual WWE pay-per-view.
It may have actually been below.
Well, see, I take that back because Over the Limit wasn't even terrible. And it was actually a decent pay-per-view.
Yeah. Speaking of
the one with no gimmick.
Speaking of WWE pay-per-views, people. Oh, hang on.
All right, there's Sandman with the beer cracking or whatever it is.
It's Metamucil.
It's my nighttime sleep in. It's not Metamucil. Fuck you. There you go.
Want me to go back to making fun of Lita?
Maybe.
It's short. You or her.
Don't make fun of me.
Yeah, I want to make fun of WWE. How the heck do you have a pay-per-view next Sunday and only have two matches announced? Or you're going to have to use Raw and SmackDown this week to set up at least six more matches, five more matches, or however many you're going to do?
Oh, fuck no.
You book like crazy.
No, each match is going to be 90 minutes long. It's the WWE Championship match, which is John Cena versus Sheamus versus Randy Orton versus Edge. And then the World Heavyweight Championship match, which is John Swagger versus Big Show versus Rey Mysterio versus CM Punk.
That's kind of what happens when you use half the roster in each match.
Hey, come on. You forgot the 15-minute rematch of Vladimir Kozlov versus Santino Marella in a dancing contest.
That dance-off was awesome. Fuck you.
I was not bagging it, Will. I actually enjoyed it, because
I had no
absolutely
idea.
Whooped the shit out of Morella.
Holy fuck.
Did I say John Swagger or Jack Swagger?
I lost track.
I could have said John Swagger, but if I did, it's because I'm reading the notes, and John Cena and Jack Swagger are like one above the other, and I could have been, I saw John, and then I saw Swagger, and so I said, John Swagger.
Old man can't read.
Part of our current thing of talking about a dancing contest makes you think we give a shit.
I'm not blaming the notes, Rock. Fuck, don't accuse me of blaming your notes. I wasn't blaming the notes. I was just telling you about the way I read it, where I overlapped the two lines because I was cross-eyed.
Get your glasses.
So, yeah. I'm wearing them, thanks, Will.
Get new glasses.
Pay me, bitch, and I'll get some new glasses.
Still waiting on my DVD. Why would I want to bother paying you for anything?
So there. Shut up, then. So, yeah, there's the Fatal 4-Way preview, and we're done with that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of hard to have a pay-per-view preview when you've only got two matches.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that's for sure. And I just want to say to Script King in the in our chat room, he's also in a different chat room, and he's telling people that he's listening to us live, and that it sounds like we're having fun, but we keep talking over each other all the time.
He obviously hasn't listened enough.
Oh, well, yeah, so we should invite him to listen some more.
Absolutely, and anyone that he's invited in for the night.
And then they can hear us talking over each other all the time.
Yeah, that would be kind of fun, don't you think? Yep, 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 yep. So there are, according to Tony in the chat room, a few unconfirmed matches. The Unified Tag Title match, Hart Dynasty versus the Usos. I'm looking forward to this. Should be a really good, that would be a really good tag team match. Don't you think, kids?
Absolutely.
I don't know. The Usos got some pretty mixed reactions at the last house show.
Yeah. Well, when you think about it, these are members of two of the most storied families in pro wrestling. Don't you think that people should be a little bit more into them? Especially when you consider all six of them are absolutely phenomenal workers.
Oh, see, when you put it like that, then this match should have more than just a few weeks build-up. It's very rare when we have two big wrestling families, you know, feuding like this.
You have a definite point, but they only brought the Usos up 2 weeks ago. What are you going to do? Right? Focus.
Build them up first.
Well, yeah, but the pay-per-view is like next week, so this is how much time you have, right?
No, it's not. There's no requirement to have the match. They could have a Hart Dynasty could, you know, tag team like Zack Ryder and Primo right now are a tag team. You know, put them up against them if you're just going to give us a throwaway match, you know, and have
them over
to interrupt. Build it.
When was the last time the Hart Dynasty was on SmackDown to do anything?
since the last time there were heels.
I mean, they are the unified tag team champions. Shouldn't they jump over there and be like, anyone want a shot? I know you don't got anybody, but here we are.
Dude Busters. Aren't the Dude Busters over there?
Oh, yeah.
The Dude Busters, they've got Archer and Hawkins.
Which got an unfortunate nickname by Striker of the Gatecrashers, and I'm just going, dear God, don't let that go on their name.
Well, what is that, what is the name of that other team?
Which one, the Dude Busters?
The Dude Busters.
What does that even mean?
WWE Creative going, you're the Dude Busters, congratulations.
Well, just think about it, Omega. You know what a rodeo is, right? And a Bronco Buster?
Yeah.
You know, and these cowboys get on these broncs and try to break them and ride them for 8 seconds.
Yes, but now you're talking about dudes. This is a scene out of Brokeback Mountain 2.
Now
we're getting into Orlando Jordan territory.
Now combine that with Saturday Night Live and their ambiguously gay duo.
It's because I still want to
be. They could be. It sounds like a nickname for a bowling team from the Big Lebowski that the dude is the captain of.
No,
I don't want
to
see.
No. It's the opposing team to the dude.
Okay, with the Jesus. 8 year olds, dude. 8 year olds.
Okay, I'm just trying to shake this mental image that you're all putting into my head because it's like disgusting. Holy fuck.
Sorry, I'm a fan of the Big Lebowski. I can't help it.
Oh, come on. How can you not like the dude?
Nice marmot.
Think about it, man. If you haven't seen the Big Lebowski, you're an idiot, first off. You have to see it. It's a classic movie, right, Alan?
Absolutely. It can't be that horrible a movie if there's Lebowski fests all over the damn country.
Oh, it's become a cult classic like Rocky Horror Picture Show, only less sexually ambiguous. Or something like that.
Can we move on now?
Yeah, okay. I think that'd be a great idea. What do you want to talk about now, guys?
Didn't really get a layout for this episode, actually.
No, so it's like a free-for-all. Anybody?
Found something from a friend of mine that went to Thursday's FCW taping here in Tampa. Said that rookie Justin Gabriel wrestled at the FCW tapings as the babyface and did not wear his NXT black armbag, and David Otunga also wrestled on the same show, but did wrestle in his armband.
So, basically, what you're saying, Alan, is Justin Gabriel didn't wear his armbag.
No, he didn't. He was baby faced out, and then all of a sudden, it's like, okay, you took everybody's baby face pop, and like, nope, you're all heels. Go over in that corner. Congrats.
Yeah, but you're missing the point. The point is, you said armbag.
It's 12:39 Eastern, dude. What do you want from me?
I just wanted to point that out and just say, ha, see, I'm not the only one who fucks things up, so everybody get the fuck off my back. To hell with this. I think it's time we do quick cuts. Quick hits.
As he messes up. Thanks, boss.
They're pot calling kettle.
Yeah, you're black. Oh, sorry, Randy, if you're listening. Yeah, I think it's time for quick hits.
Let's do it.
Time now for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits. Wow. That's right, it's that part of the show where our panel has 60 seconds to answer sometimes outrageous and ridiculous questions posed to them.
Wow.
Step up to the plate and get ready for some Wrestle Talk Radio quick hits.
Alrighty then, here's the deal in the situation. You guys all by now know what we do for quick hits. We're changing things up just the tiniest little bit with one of the questions. All four guys are going to get the same question.
Dun dun dun.
Okay.
Which means we were out of ideas this week.
There you go. Spug, you're going to pretend you're a professional wrestler.
I really don't have to pretend, but okay.
Mace, you're going to pretend you're a professional wrestler.
Like Spug said, I don't have to pretend.
Omega, you're going to pretend you're a professional wrestler.
All right, let me oil up.
Okay. Saying let me oil up and realizing that you're the king of Lita jokes just kind of makes you wonder. Will, guess what you're going to do?
What?
You're going to pretend you're a professional wrestler. Here's what...
Let me drown my sorrows in alcohol.
Okay, Scott Hall. Here's what we're going to do. Spug and Mace are about to have an in-ring match against each other. And Omega and Will are about to have an in-ring match against each other. Now, you guys are each backstage talking with the interviewer. Okay, Spug, you're going to cut a promo on Mace. Mace, you're going to cut a promo on Spug. We're going to start with Spug. Are you ready? Go.
I wasn't ready, and I have a few key questions.
Okay, what are your key questions?
These are all important in cutting a promo. One, have we ever wrestled before?
Good question. This is the first match you guys have ever had. There's been a build up and there's hype and you've been pitted against each other and Mace is the face and Spug's the heel.
Okay, what's his gimmick?
Mace, what's your gimmick? You're the Australian Destroyer. Okay, here it is. Mace is the Australian Destroyer. He's come to the States to get in the match and fight you, Spug.
The Australian Destroyer.
Sure.
That's it, Tim. I am never coming up working for your company.
I would never call you that anyway. I'm just doing this off the.
What is your ring name, Mace?
Currently going by Bradley Rain.
Bradley Rain?
Yeah, Bradley, but if I say the part that I have before it, I get sued by Omega for copyright infringement.
Bradley Rain. Damn, that's as explosive as Braden Walker.
Did you call yourself the Omega?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I haven't had to cut an actual promo in forever.
Oh, you're not the only one. Actually, can Spug and I sort of work on ours and give the other two guys that can somewhat improv a go?
Yeah, those two can actually improv.
The guys who have never cut a promo. Okay.
The guys they're going to embarrass you both, dude.
They are going to embarrass us, so it's fine.
Omega, here's the deal, okay? You and Will, head-to-head. Omega, you're the heel. Will is the face. And this is what's going to happen. It's your first wrestling match against each other. There's been a great big, huge build-up. You used to be friends, you were never tag team partners, but you used to come out to each other's aid, in some events every now and then. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Okay. And so what we're gonna...
I can't believe I have to do this with my nasally ass voice.
Well, here's the thing, right? It doesn't matter. You could be Harvey fucking Whippleman if you wanted to, okay? But Will, you get the first promo. And don't forget, you're the babyface and Omega's
Why
heel.
Me?
Because I pulled your name out of the hat.
Too bad. Let the heel go first.
All right. Fine. Omega, go.
Really? This is the guy I have to wrestle tonight? The guy that dumped me off for his new best friend, Jack Daniels? I mean, this isn't a match. This is a joke. Anyone in the crowd tonight could beat this guy. Anyone. The kid in the front row. The old lady in the back. Anyone. They just have to wait around for him to pass out drunk. Eventually, he'll just put himself on his back. Tonight is nothing but a disgrace. This is the end of an era. No more friendship. No more alliance. I won't watch his back anymore. He has to fend for himself. And tonight, he will prove that he cannot do it. Not without me, not without the Omega watching his back, making sure that he doesn't trip and stumble over himself. I have had it watching over you, and I have had it with not being able to be what I am. To always have to nurse you. I am no longer going to be your nanny, no longer your babysitter. I am the Omega.
I will be all. I will end all. And tonight will I end you.
Golf clap. Okay, Will.
Son of a bitch. How am I going to follow that? Damn. Give me a moment. No, leave the room. Go away. No. Fuck.
Why?
Seriously, leave the room.
Why?
They're making me cut a promo. Go away. Because it's embarrassing as fuck, and this already depresses me. And already half of Omega's promo is true.
I love how this can be done bang, bang, bang without people wheedling and whining and shit like that. This is great how quickly it comes off.
You're expecting someone with no charisma at all to try and pull off something great after following Omega.
Why not? John Cena has a career.
But, okay. So let me get this straight. Omega wants to sit over there behind a camera talking about it's his time to shine. It's his time to break through. He's tired of carrying me. But you know, as I think back, I kind of remember the chants in the crowd being for Will. I kind of remember the signs being for Will. I kind of remember carrying Omega. It's funny to see how quickly someone's ego can balloon when they realize just how low they really were. But, you know, it really doesn't bother me. I've got what I've got. I've got the look, I've got the skill, and I've got everything that Omega never had. He wants to try and make a jump and get after me, because he's jealous of what I've had all my life? Go ahead, because tonight I'm going to outshine him in the ring like I have our entire career. Omega, you're going to regret ever making this decision.
And there you go, there's Will's promo against Omega. Omega, did he make you scared?
I still think the old lady in the back could take him.
Okay, well, that's another story entirely altogether. Now we come to what I would term the heavyweights, only because they're actually in real life pro wrestlers, and so they should be able to come up with something, Spug and Mace. And let's pull a name out of the hat. We'll start with Mace.
Whoa, seriously. I gotta go up against Cannon tonight, and I gotta hear this crap from some little peon named Will. Seriously. These guys, they're little pissy, prancy little friggin' guys who probably wouldn't even draw a crowd if they stuffed $1 million in their friggin' G-strings and went out dancing for fat chicks. You know what? I know I was supposed to sit here and talk about Cannon tonight, but you know what? I don't give a rat's ass anymore. The people have turned against me every time I've gone out to the ring. So you know what? I'm sick of pandering to you people. As far as I am concerned, you can all go and stick it right up your ass. Now get that fucking shit out of my face. I'm out of here.
Whoa. Okay, this is not going to be on WWE because he said fucking shit.
Spug, are you ready?
Bug. So let me get this straight. Bradley Rain comes across the Pacific Ocean to make it rain in the United States of America, the land of the free, home of the brave. He wants to come into my ring in my town and tell my fans that we're all worthless and piles of shit. He wants to sit there and look me right in the eye and tell me that the Australian Destroyer is going to put me on my back. 1, 2, 3. I don't think so, son. You see, I'm ruthless by nature and perfect by choice. Fuck that up. God damn it.
Hold on. Can I get a take two, please? Can I get a take two?
Rock, can he have a take two? Remember, this is live. All right, to hell with it. We're just starting all over again. You pulled a Sid Vicious. Congratulations. But what the fuck? We're going to restart and pretend. We'll put it on SmackDown. Go.
So let me get this straight. Bradley Rain wants to come across the ocean to my country and tell me he's going to make it rain in my ring, call me and my fans worthless piles of shit, look me right in the eye, and say that the Australian destroyer is going to put me on my back 1, 2, 3. You see, son, I am perfect by choice and ruthless by nature. I don't put up with that bullshit. You see, people come into my ring and they live by one credo. That's either tap it or I snap it. And the same holds true tonight, son. Because when you step in that ring with me and you look me right in those eyes, the only thing that you're going to be hearing is the screams, not of the fans, but coming from your own mouth. As I take that leg of yours and twist it in so many directions that it'd make Gumby scream. So you better get that arm ready to wave, son, because you're going to be tapping that mat. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know where the fuck he's getting his information from, but I said none of that.
So who won the promo battle, you figure?
Omega.
My vote goes to Omega.
Yeah, it's going to be Omega.
Okay. We're going to get the official confirmation from Ellen Wojciechowski.
Oh, I was supposed to be paying attention to what the hell they were saying. You guys told me I'm not supposed to. You guys were like, we're doing quick hits. Shut up. And I was like, okay, fine. I'm not going to talk. I liked the first one. That was very well done. Mace's was also well done.
Omega, congratulations, you're the winner.
Woo!
Woo!
Yeah, gift that would be sent out.
Russian judge says Omega. Okay. All right, so there's the first set of quick hits. The second question is, each person gets to cut a 60-second promo on an actual real wrestler. And now, the promo that you guys are about to cut on a wrestler you hate, okay? First off. Secondly, think of it as a mini rant, as opposed to the 2-minute rant. This is a 1-minute rant. You don't have to talk to this wrestler you're going to basically call out as if you're about to have a match with him. You can pretty much, more or less, say anything you want. Pick a wrestler you absolutely hate, Will and Cena, and talk about or say anything you want.
So is this like actually a rant, or is this still like backstage interview promo something?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, if you want to do that, then you can do that. But
I just want to know if we're cutting a promo or we're just ranting.
You can cut a promo or you can rant, is what I'm telling you, okay? Like, you hear that, Jim Cornette goes to Dairy Queen and his soft serve isn't soft enough. So he cut a promo on the clerk behind the counter, right? It could be that kind of promo. Or you could say, well, this guy's a fucking jerk because yada, yada, yada. Whatever. Understand?
Kinda.
You can shoot on a wrestler you love to hate. How's that? Not shoot him, but shoot on him.
Okay.
Sorry to take your fun away, but okay. Is that explain?
You've got to take note, Omega, that he did say he, not she. So leaders excluded from this exercise.
Gah! Okay. Well, he is generic. It could be a she. Okay. So, we're going to start with Mace tonight.
Yeah. No.
What do you mean, yet? We're starting with Mace.
Have you not been reading the backstage chat? Most of us do not want to do this, Tim. We would rather sit here answering TNA questions.
Well, we don't have TNA questions.
Start with somebody else. I've got nobody in mind at the moment.
Rant on Ken Anderson.
I've already done that once. Really don't need to hear it again.
Oh. Omega, what you got?
Okay, the one who really doesn't understand what's going on.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, let me talk for a minute about a guy named Drew McIntyre. This one trick, one gimmick pony that only knows how to whine to Vince McMahon every time something doesn't go his way. Who doesn't have any kind of personality, no kind of charisma, nothing whatsoever that's absolutely impressive in any slim way. All he knows how to do is bitch and complain and whine and cry and come up with excuses. All he has is, I was Vince McMahon's chosen boy. Well, guess what? That doesn't get you very far. That doesn't say anything about you. That doesn't say anything about your in-ring skills, your mic skills, nothing. That just says that a senile old man who really doesn't know the business or his viewership anymore has decided that you just maybe might win a world title someday. Which is supposed to be what, you know, he tells everyone to get them a job in the WWE. You don't have anything. You are overhyped. You are overpromoted. You shouldn't be on TV. And the fact that Bryan Danielson might be fired, but you still get championship matches, is an absolute joke. Come up with something different. Show me who you are. Don't just hide behind Vince McMahon. He is not your gimmick. He is not you. He is not your skills. Do something yourself.
Okay, you're done. Mace, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
What song do you love to hear that's a guilty pleasure that you're embarrassed to admit you like?
Well, it's not so much embarrassing as it's a tiny guilty pleasure. It would be Rainbow Connection by Kermit the Frog.
What?
I don't know, it's just something about that song. It's one of those ones that really puts you in a calm frame of mind.
Think of all the guilty pleasure songs you could think of.
Well, you gotta realize, I don't listen to shit like Lady Gaga or any of that.
I'm not even talking about Lady Gaga, but you've got half a song.
You're expecting something fucking. You want something that's gonna make people laugh? Here you go, you got it. Shut the fuck up and screw the fucking lot of yous.
No, it's not even that, dude. It's just like Kermit the Frog. But you look at, like, you've got How Bizarre by OMC, Baby Got Back, The Macarena, Personal Jesus. I mean, there's the Rainbow Connection by Kermit the Frog? Really? I never would have...
Fuck, isn't it?
It's one of those bizarre... The fuck, dude?
I think it was a great answer. It's like nothing that you would expect. It's like, you know, Kermit the Frog? What the fuck? That was perfect. Well, what TV show do you like to watch that you would absolutely hate for people to find out that you like?
I don't know. That's pretty hard considering I'll still watch Power Rangers and not give a fuck.
We'll just hit TNA Impact and be done with it.
I don't know. I really don't watch a lot of TV anymore.
You know, it's for this reason we can't have nice stuff, you guys.
Sailor Moon. Sailor Moon. There we go.
Tony likes to watch the Golden Girls.
Is there something wrong with the Golden Girls?
Now. There's only one of them left now.
Besides that, they're all dead. Yes, thank you, Mace.
Yeah, nice little upbeat note there, Mace.
Yeah, Betty
Yay,
White.
I brought the show down quicker
By
than
the way,
a
they're
work.
All dead.
Yeah, Betty White is the last living Golden Girl.
Ruth was the first one to die, wasn't she?
Who?
Ruth.
Ruth?
Mm-hmm.
The really old biddy.
Don't you mean Estelle Getty?
No. The Southern.
She just died.
Her name's not Ruth, it's Rue McClanahan, and she is the most recently deceased.
Speaking of character names, Tim, the Southern girl, I think her name was Ruth.
It was Blanche.
It was Blanche Devereaux.
Blanche was not the Southern one.
Yes,
she was.
Yeah.
She was the Southern man.
Are you talking about Rose?
No, god damn it, now I have to hold the fuck on.
Over to Wikipedia.
It was Rue McClanahan played Blanche Devereaux. She was the Southern Belle who was man crazy. Now,
yeah, wasn't she the first one to die?
No, she just died.
The first one to die was Estelle Getty. Ironically, Estelle in the TV series played the oldest of the Golden Girls. She played Bea Arthur's mother. In real life, Estelle Getty was the youngest of all four actresses.
She was the funniest on the damn show, too.
She was. And her character's name was Sophia. Then the next one to die just a few months ago was Bea Arthur.
And Deadpool got really disappointed in that. Sorry. Geek joke.
Oh, did you guys hear the latest news about Michael Jackson?
This is gonna be terrible.
He's still down there.
He's still dead.
Brilliant. Tell the tabloids.
Yeah, speaking about tabloids, what about Gary Coleman's estranged wife selling pictures of him on his deathbed?
This just became really morbid. How many other dead celebrities can we talk about on this show?
We could talk about a lot of dead celebrities.
Doesn't Spug have a question to answer?
Yeah, I'm trying to think one up while I'm stalling for time.
Yeah, meanwhile, I'm the only one that had to do any extra promo. Good prize for winning.
Well, Omega, you get the huge prize win because everybody's too much of a fucking pansy to do it. Unless Spug is ready to cut a promo on a wrestler he hates.
Oh, I'm pretty sure that it's not going to be on a wrestler. I'm almost positive it's not going to be on a wrestler.
Okay, who's it going to be on?
Oh, Timmy, it's not going to be on somebody you like.
Do it.
You see, this whole promo bit, this whole second question was supposed to be the cast of WTR shooting on one Mr. Timmy Stein. And since Tim has a giant vagina and a bunch of sand crammed up in it, he decided to change it and pick it so if we picked wrestlers we didn't like to shoot on. Because if it's one thing Tim can't handle, it's the truth. Now face it, old man. You've gone and used up all your usefulness. Last week when you were silent was probably the best show we've had around here in months. We didn't have anybody trying to derail us when we got on a roll. We didn't have anybody trying to force us in directions that we didn't want to go. And hell, we didn't have anybody coming up with stupid ideas for a segment that's gone on well for the last few months in the format that it was at. Because we didn't want to get embarrassed. So perhaps, it is time that you take a few steps back and realize that maybe, just maybe, the message boards were right, and you should just do us all the favor and go away. I'm done.
Are you done? And Tim's printing out the pink slip in 3, 2, 1.
You're fired. First off, Spug, you fat, stupid, lousy, lazy fucking American. Number one, okay?
Oh, I love you.
First things first, learn how to fucking pronounce words and names. You're an idiot, and you sound even dumber when you get them wrong when you think you're right. Secondly, when I come up with something, and it's entirely accurate, live with it. Don't try to shoot me down and say I'm full of shit, especially when it does come true. Bret Hart is general manager. There's just one example. Thirdly, stop eating fried fucking food, okay? It's disgusting how disgustingly obese people from the Midwestern United States are becoming just because of fried foods. My God, have you tried stepping on a scale? You need two of them. You need two of them. Thirdly, you don't know when to shut the fuck up and let somebody else have the floor. You talk over everybody. Your opinions are totally fucking backwards. And you, for a professional wrestler, have no fucking clue what you're talking about most of the time. But I will give you this. You do like Mark Henry, and by extension, you love that KFC. Oh, and one last thing. You're fired.
Meh.
We'll see you next week.
To quote myself, hey, go fuck yourself.
Isn't that what the TNA guys used to say to each other all the time as a form of greetings?
I have no idea, to be honest with you.
I can remember when we used to interview the TNA guys all the time before Roz Foreman showed his ugly fucking face on the internet. We'd get these TNA guys like AJ Styles, Christopher Daniels, you know, Kazarian, all of these guys coming on. And they would at some point in time realize that I knew Johnny Devine personally, and I'm a friend with Hotshot Johnny Devine. They would say to me, oh, next time you see Johnny Devine, tell him to go fuck himself. So, a couple weeks after all of these guys have been on and say, you know, telling me to tell Hotshot to go fuck himself, I bring it up and say, Johnny, all these guys we talked to, they told me to tell you to go fuck yourself. So he launches into a 10-minute long explanation of how go fuck yourself is TNA speak for hey, how you doing?
Well, you know, it's rather funny because that's the way New Yorkers say hi, too.
Hey, go fuck yourself.
Pretty much.
Alan, is that true? Have you ever said go fuck yourself to your in-laws?
No.
Are your in-laws New Yorkers?
My mother-in-law is from Jersey. My father-in-law is from Florida.
Have you ever said go fuck yourself to anybody from New York?
Where's Nick Anthony from?
California. And who's that guy?
Exactly.
Some fucking retard who thought he owned a wrestling show.
I know exactly what we could say. And to whom. We could say go fuck yourself to somebody who lives in Buffalo, New York, does a show on Monday. And we can tell them this is not our way of giving you a New Yorker-style greeting. We actually are sincere and serious when we say, go fuck yourself!
I thought Maverick lived in Sacramento.
I wasn't talking about Maverick.
Or San Jose or some shithole California town.
Wasn't talking about Maverick. If you pay attention to how Rock and I
know what you were saying.
On Monday nights,
he was making a jerk, you fucking retard. I know exactly who you were talking about.
I knew he was a joke, but I refused to bite because, well, I'm still pissed off at him.
You could be pissed all you want.
Tell you what, give me some vodka and I'll get pissed.
Not that kind of pissed.
Oh, okay. Well, hey, everybody, that's it for another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Hey, the TNA pay-per-view, somewhat less enjoyable than the 2 hours and 11 minutes we put out, in my opinion. You can form your own. It's a free society, almost entirely free world. There are a couple of holds out.
Unless you disagree with us, then fuck you.
North Korea, China, Cuba. Yeah, if you don't agree with us, go fuck yourselves. Tuesday night, Ellen Wojcicki in OWW Radio. And he's got, who have you got on now?
We're going to have Kevin Kleinrock on to do a postscript on the Viva La Lucha pay-per-view. Anthony Castellano of Newsday, who does a blog called The Steel Cage, will join us as a contributor. And Sarah and Ari Daigon of In This Very Ring on a Blogspot site will also be joining. And I never know if Mason Spug are allowed out after hours to be a part of the show. So hopefully you'll enjoy it, 9 p.m.
Awesome. And, of course, Wednesday night, if you're a geek, and let's face it, at heart, aren't we all? Check out Otaku Talk Live. Yeah, I know I mispronounced it. I don't give a fuck. I can do what I want. Wednesday night at what time? 8 o'clock Eastern? 9 o'clock Eastern?
9 o'clock.
9 o'clock
Eastern. 9 o'clock for them. For me, whenever I show the hell up. 9 o'clock.
And then Spuggy, he's like a high school drop-in. You know, every now and then he shows up.
It's very true. It's funny because it's true.
Funny because it's true. Yeah, Thursday night, anything goes. And that stars Cindy Senn, and she'll have a host of Alan Wojcik. What the fuck? How do you pronounce that again?
Wojcik, and I have no idea if I'm going to be on her show Thursday night. I think she's trying to drag me on there as a weekly thing. I was like, no, I have my own thing. I don't know if I want to go on your show.
There you go. Yeah, and then, of course, Saturday night, CB Radio with your host, the producer extraordinaire, the one and the only, Sir Rock and Shock. And debuting soon will be that new webcast that we're going to be doing. What is it called? The History of? Something like that?
You've been pinned for the last 6 months and haven't done shit with.
Oh, trust me, I've been working my ass off on it, and I'm putting together, like, several episodes at once, so I've got a backlog, and I don't have to worry about scrambling. So, yeah, that's coming up really soon, so just pay attention to the website. And that's all I can tell you. Anyway, everybody, have yourselves a great week. We'll catch you next Sunday night right here for more Wrestle Talk Radio, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Have a great week.
You've been listening to Wrestle Talk Radio, a Wild Talk Radio Network feature presentation produced by WTR Productions. For complete archives of this podcast, check out the official website of Wild Talk Radio Network located at wildtalkradio.com.